There is a story, a parable as we call it, of a man coming home to his servants. Now I will say sometimes these parables seem a little strange to me because I don't understand the role of having servants at home, and sometimes different translations involve the master coming home to his servants, and there's some uncomfortable power dynamics and some history of the way people treated one another. I want to step back from that, acknowledging that it exists, and see this as a story of a person coming home to the people he spends his days with. These are the folks that are in relationship with him. I mean, the story is a simple one in its essence. The people are all there waiting at their home. These servants are waiting for their boss to come home after he'd been at a wedding. Now, again, there's some cultural pieces. This isn't just you show up at 5, they do the service for 30 minutes, then we do the hokey pokey by about 9:30 and you're home around 10:15. Weddings at the time, big, beautiful, amazing events. And so they've just been there at the house, rather unsupervised, just waiting. Not really sure when he's going to come home. I mean, he's spent at least a day, if not several days, celebrating, partying, being reminded of all the best life has to offer. And he's coming home in a good mood. They just don't know when. And right there in the middle of the night, he finally makes his way home to find the people he relies on waiting for him. Not taking advantage of the fact that he was gone, not, oh, he's not here, let's all take a break, but just waiting. When's he going to get back? They had no idea when he would show up, but they were waiting and they were ready. Their hearts were in serving him. Take a listen to how Jesus tells this story in Luke. Be ready for service. Keep your lamps lit. Be like people waiting for their master to come home from a wedding celebration. Those who can immediately open the door for him when he arrives and knocks on the door. Happy are those servants whom the master finds waiting up when he arrives. I assure you that when he arrives, he will dress himself to serve them. He will seat them at his table as honored guests, and he will wait on them. Happy are those whom the master finds alert, even if he comes home at midnight or just before dawn. For know this, if the homeowner had known when a thief was coming, he wouldn't have allowed his home to be broken into. You must be ready, because the human one, the one of God, is coming at a time you will never expect. As I read this parable, and as I read it in the last couple weeks, preparing for this day and for conversations about hearts for ministry, there was something about it that really spoke to me. And I don't think it had ever had in this way before. Now, Hearts for Ministry is our stewardship campaign. This is an intentional series of sermons and invitations that ask you to reflect on all that you have, all that you do, and all that you are, and how you can use it to transform the world. And I appreciate the way Hearts for Ministry frames this conversation around the active, out there in the world focused idea of ministry. Right? It's not a serve our budget campaign. This is a Hearts for Ministry conversation. Too often, people think stewardship campaigns are about money. And when I say people, I include ministers in that conversation. Too often people think stewardship campaigns are about money. You see, some awkward preacher gets up and gives an awkward sermon about how much money the church needs, and everyone sits there amidst that awkwardness, trying awkwardly to pretend that they're not feeling awkward about the conversation. I've sat through that Sunday. I sat through that Sunday in the pew as a parishioner. I've sat through it up front as a staff member on a church, and if we're going to be honest, I've stood through it from behind the pulpit and preached into that awkwardness myself. I don't like talking about money. But then a few years back, I had a revelation. Stewardship isn't about money. Stewardship is about how we choose to use and make use of all that we have, all that we do, and even more, who we are. I love talking about that. This is about our lives. This is about everything we are in every single moment. I love talking about that. That's an exciting thing. You see, it's about how we take care of all that we treasure. It's about where our hearts find themselves. Right before Jesus tells this story about the guy coming home from the wedding, immediately before that story, he actually says these words, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is actually the scripture that's on the cover of your bulletin, written in the shape of a heart. And it's where the phrase, hearts for ministry, comes from. If where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We want to have hearts for ministry. Somewhere a mathematician is very excited to see that transitive property at play. Okay, I heard someone laugh. Thank God. Sometimes you write these and you're going, I hope somebody gets this. I'm such a nerd. Okay. Jesus is offering us a way for our hearts to know and experience God. Jesus wants our hearts to be ready to experience all that God offers. And Jesus knows a very important thing. Our hearts are shaped by what we treasure. Now, anytime we talk about this scripture, I think it's important to take a minute and talk about the word treasure. Based on the number of pirates I had knock on my door at Halloween, sometimes we get a very specific idea of what treasure is. We're not talking about gold doubloons. We're not talking about maps with giant X's on them. We're talking about the things that we treasure. Every week since I arrived here 2.5 years ago to serve as a pastor to the people of this community and be with you on Sundays, we've used the same prayer every time we take our offering. In response to the love you have given us, God, we offer here what we have, what we do, and even more who we are, that our generosity might transform the world. Each and every week, we are naming what we treasure. What we have, what we do, and even more who we are. Those are things that should be treasured. I hope you treasure your time. I hope you treasure all those things you're good at. I hope you treasure what you earn. I hope you treasure what you're able to do. Those things are important, and you should treasure those things. You see, these are also the things that we are able to invest in ourselves and in the people and organizations that surround us in this world. These are the treasures that we're invited to offer in this place, in all the ways we serve in the world, on behalf of the God we worship in this place. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I've actually been really excited for this month. I plan worship out several months ahead of time, generally pick out the theme and a few topics. If I'm really ahead of time, I'll get down the scriptures I'm using each week and maybe a few hymn ideas. When I sat down to begin planning this year's Hearts for Ministry series, I found myself more excited for our stewardship series than I was for Christmas. Now, as a guy who listens to Christmas music for 3 months, this is a really big deal. I was more excited for stewardship than Christmas. It almost concerned me a little bit. I feel this way because this is an amazing and exciting time to consider all of the things God is doing here and to consider the ways that we get to be a part of it. That's an exciting thing to think about. I love this place. More specifically, I love you people. Even more specifically, I love what we get to be a part of together in ministry as this community. I treasure this place, and I treasure you, and that's why my heart is here. There are some amazing things God has been doing with us, and I'm always excited to see what God's going to be doing with us next, which is why the parable of this man coming home really spoke to me, because that's what I see God doing here. God shows up, and we're waiting. See, the story reminds me of why I offer what I treasure and why my heart is here. When I read this parable that Jesus offers right after this Hearts for Ministry verse, I realize Jesus was encouraging us to be ready. With what we treasure and where our hearts are, we should be ready because God shows up. Hear that as a powerful and hopeful message. God shows up. God shows up in each of our lives. God shows up in this community of faith. We live out this story Jesus told over and over again as we are invited to be ready and waiting. Now, I don't know what wedding God's been attending, but just like in the scripture, God's going to come a-knocking, and we're invited to be there to answer. I like believing that God calls this community home. And God relies on us to be the people that serve in and out every single day on God's behalf. And God shows up. When you're invited to support the ministry of this congregation with what you treasure, you are not being asked to simply help us pay bills to keep the lights on and the doors open. We're inviting you to help this congregation, this community, all of us together. We're inviting you to help us be ready for the countless ways God's going to be showing up. You are not being asked to simply give to perpetuate an institution. Oh, we got to keep doing what we do, so everybody throw a little in. If that is all we were doing, if all we were doing was keeping ourselves going for our own sake, I don't care if $1 million came in, I would lock the doors and put a for sale sign in the yard, because that is not what we're about. I want nothing to do with that. We're not in the business of keeping an institution open. We're not in the business of perpetuating our own existence. We're in ministry. We are called to have hearts for ministry. In who we are and how we live every day. Because ministry is what happens when God shows up and we're ready. You know, when the floods hit Colorado last year, God showed up. And we were ready to lead the neighborhood in disaster recovery work. In these last few years, as we've had the chance to house nonprofit organizations that care for at-risk children, that teach kids how to read, that serve the deaf and hearing impaired community, that work with marginalized people around the world. We've got nonprofits doing all of that in this space. When they came and showed up, God did too. And we were ready to create affordable space for their work, to support them in their ministry. When the Broncos made it to the Super Bowl, God showed up. Okay, I'm not sure the Broncos showed up, but God showed up. And we were ready to run a food drive across the entire Front Range that brought in over 103,000 donations. Plus the 50-some that Seattle did too, because we encouraged them. But 103,000 food donations. Because I could look at our team and say, can we do this? And I heard a strong yes back, because we're ready for when God shows up. When the rules and policies of the United Methodist Church about marriage equality aren't moving forward the way society finally is, God shows up. And we were ready to take out ads publicly sharing our values in the pages of Westward, Out Front, The Pride Guide, our very own Street Fair Gazette for the neighborhood. We were ready. God keeps showing up. Our new preschool, our growing list of neighborhood events that we host, our diaper drive, our outreach each and every month to those who are hungry. God shows up, and we're ready, and amazing things happen. God just keeps showing up, and these are just some of the bigger, more public examples. When someone raises their hand with a prayer concern, God shows up. When a child laughs at a puppet while learning that they're loved, God shows up. When someone sits at my office or at a table during coffee hour with one of you as their friends to have an important conversation, to feel listened to feel not alone, God shows up. When someone sits silently in our sanctuary with teary eyes, listening for a word of hope, God shows up. God just keeps showing up. And it's my prayer that we will always be ready, that our hearts and all that we treasure are ready to respond and ready to be all that God invites us to. Amen.